Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're on to January 19th, 2022. It just fascinates me that it's I'm going to be 65 this year, believe it or not.
No, come on.
I really am. And and as you can see, for the first time in 3 or 4 weeks now, I have a co-host, Christopher John O'Shea, who's known me since I was 14, actually, right? I was 14 when we first met.
Do the math.
So that's 61 years ago that I met this guy. 51 years ago that I met this guy, and still a great person to know, and I'm glad he's here with me tonight, and I'm glad you're here with us tonight as our listeners, because we're on an open show. That means that you are the guest. You get to determine the direction of the conversation. We're not going to talk about a specific topic. We're going to talk about any topic that you want to talk about, that you feel is important. And if you call in and ask a question, there's probably 3 or 4 people out there that really want to hear the answer to that question also. So do them a favor who aren't as bold as you to call in, and call in and ask your question by calling 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. And
looks like one's coming on the line here. But Drew, just as you said that, we talk about 50 years and that age, and you think, man, so I'm just a year younger than you. And you think, man, if there are people in their 30s and 40s, they think these guys are like next to the old folks' home, right? These folks are long-term care
needs
and all that.
We're woolly mammoths.
Right. So, I mean, just a couple nights ago, I was out there, like I run around, shoot baskets, you know, basketball. I love just being out there with a ball and myself and a court. And I was like, man, this is pretty cool. I shot tonight as well as I have ever done, right? So you can still be, you're not over the hill necessarily. We may be older, but we're not necessarily over the hill. We've got Bob in Hamilton. We've got several open phone lines, 922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. And I should say, however well I shot before, that's how well I'm shooting now. So that's up to, that's up to judgment. Hey, Bob, how are you? You say you want to talk about 401k. What's your question?
Yeah, I have two 401ks from different employers. There's one is Principal and one is in Voya. And I have a Roth IRA at Fidelity. Roth IRA at Fidelity. What should I do? Combine them?
Well, you can't easily do that. So let me ask you a couple of general questions. Are you in your 50s, 60s?
Just turned 70.
You just turned 70, okay. And the money at those two 401ks, are they in pre-tax traditional 401k, which is what I would assume?
Yeah, I mean, I you're right. I didn't pay any taxes. Only the Roth has the taxes.
Okay.
Taken out.
Yeah. Now, the next question is, can you tell me the name of the two 401k companies that you worked for?
One was Xerox.
Okay.
And the other was HCL America, which actually was kind of subcontracting to Xerox.
Okay. So the second company was more of a private company, and the first one was Xerox, right?
Well, the second one was a huge worldwide company, so I don't know. They're out of India.
Okay. So in either of those 401k plans, did you have any company stock owned in those two 401ks? Or is it all just mutual funds?
Yeah, just that. I don't have any stock in them at all.
Okay, so you have just mutual funds. So the answer to your question is, and are you still working? That's another question I have to ask you.
No.
So you've retired, fully retired, not working anymore.
Well, I do occasionally do things, teach kids some music and different things. I do get paid.
No, but
that.
You're not working for a company that has a 401k right now.
No, not at all.
Okay. So the answer to your question is yes, definitely you want to do a direct rollover of those two 401ks to a traditional IRA with Fidelity. If Fidelity, who's you're using, and you like Fidelity, where your Roth is, but yeah. roll these two 401ks to a traditional IRA. Once you get them into a traditional IRA, then you want to start thinking about Roth conversions, but only so much every year. Okay? And are you, and here's another question, are you charitably minded? Do you tend to give money to charity every year?
No, I don't have enough.
Okay, that's fine. So you want to roll those two 401ks over to a traditional IRA in what's called a direct rollover. So you contact the two companies and say, I want to do a direct rollover to my Fidelity IRA. And you have to set the IRA up with Fidelity before you call those other two companies, okay?
Yep, yep.
And if you call Fidelity and tell them that you want to get these two old 401ks to an IRA with them, they'll take care of all of it with you. They'll do conference calls with you and everything. They'll take good care of you.
Great. That's great to hear.
All right, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
all right.
Great. Thanks,
good
Bob.
Call.
Take care.
Yep.
We have all our lines are open, Drew.
That's right, we do. But we have that pause that we have to take, Chris, as usual, 6:14. So we're going to go on pause. But while we're on pause, all lines are open, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. And we'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I'm here with Christopher John O'Shea, and we've been sitting here reminiscing about 51 years of knowing each other, and we're here to meet you and to answer your questions, and like we did for Bob just a little bit ago, and you know, whatever question you have on personal finance.
Sure, we've got John in Arbutus, but we have several open phone lines still.
Well, any question, whether it's estate planning, income taxes, investments, 401ks, IRAs, insurance policies, if it deals with your personal finance, we're here to answer them for you. So let's go to John, Chris.
Sure. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. Can you tell me what's happening to the Ford Motor Company and what's their future look like?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Here they got a thing, a few things going on.
Yeah, well, you know... you know, the whole auto industry is going through an upheaval, you know, because what was it, just maybe say 10 years ago, you probably had 20 auto manufacturers in the world that had any relevance, you know, the Mercedes and BMW, Volkswagen, Toyota, Honda, you know, and GM and Ford, of course, and Chrysler. And now all of a sudden, in the last 10 or 15 years, their car companies coming out of the woodwork building electric vehicles. And in my opinion, and Chris will tell you that I've been saying this for years, that electric vehicles are the future and they're going to be the dominant part of the future by as early as 2025, in my opinion. You know, so Ford's got a tough road ahead of it. Now, they did, what was that company, Chris, that they invested in, the electric vehicle company? They made a fortune in that thing so far. Rivian, what's it called? I can't remember.
Right.
It's an electric vehicle car, and they put the hunk of money in it, not a overwhelming amount of money, but enough that it made a big difference. And they made numerous billions of dollars on their investment in this electric vehicle company. But they've also moved to try to electrify their cars. And matter of fact, they're coming out with the F-150 electric truck, and it's already got a large amount of orders. But the question that you have to ask yourself, John, is how are they going to – they couldn't compete very well when they only had 20 competitors. What are they going to do now when even Apple is talking about making a car, you know? How's Ford going to compete with them? So I'm not saying they couldn't come alive. I don't know enough about them to make a solid opinion one way or the other, my friend.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right, John. Thanks for calling.
Great question. Interesting situation.
Sure. But, yep.
Do you happen to look that up, the name of the company that they invested in, by any chance?
No.
Well, we'll do it. We'll do it before we finish, because it is interesting how they made a lot of money on that. Do we have anybody else online, or should I just ramble, Chris?
Go and ramble. Yeah,
okay.
No, we don't, but I'm going to give out the phone number again, because we do have several open phone lines in time. So 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680, and you can get Drew's and my response to whatever question you have, and we will guarantee you a response.
We will, while we wait for them to call in, Chris, why don't we give them a little commentary about what's happening in the stock market, you know?
Sure.
Because it is interesting. The market's down a good bit now for the year after today.
Small cap growth stocks are getting pummeled, yeah, so far,
yeah.
And others.
Well, you know, the NASDAQ is down at least 8 right now for the year. The S&P 500 is down, what, 4, 5?
It's down now just 4 and
four.
Change. Yep.
Yeah, you know, but you're seeing a fairly significant correction taking place right now. And anytime markets, after they've been up for 2-3 years, all of a sudden when they go down, people start to panic. So it is an interesting scenario what's happening at this point in time. But it's solely based on the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is looking to raise interest rates. Markets have been up for a long time. Hedge funds are trying to front run the market and trying to get it to go down because they're short stocks. So it's pretty straightforward. But nobody's going to be able to predict where the top was. Nobody's going to be able to predict either, Chris, where the bottom is, are they?
No, that's right. And that's I like Liz Ann Saunders' comment on this. She says, time in the market is a strategy, right? Timing the market is not. So time in the market, so because you cannot predict these things. And so, right, if you're talking year to date, so like REITs are down 7%. Information stocks are down 7%. You've got certain sectors are getting hit harder than others. Energy obviously is up. Was it Goldman Sachs who put out a note who was talking about, you know, $100 plus oil? It's really interesting when they don't predict even where it is now that they say it's going to go higher. I've always found that fascinating.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's marketing. You make a bunch of guesses, and if you're right, media companies are going to bring you on and say, "Wow, they knew what was going on." And if they weren't right, nobody will call you up, but you can then go on and make new guesses. You know.
So, give a little preview. So tomorrow we're going to be taping a webinar for next week that will be available, and it's just for that. You talk about the Federal Reserve versus, you know, the elected officials. Who has a bigger impact on markets? And so. Preview, Federal Reserve and credit, right? The price of credit and credit itself and the role of credit in the economy. That's much more powerful than what the elected officials ever do.
Yeah, and you know, people say to me, Chris, that, well, if the government's going to spend $3 trillion, that's got to do something good for the economy. And the answer is, nah, it's not going to do anything for the economy if Jeremy Powell doesn't want to give them the cash to do it with. It doesn't mean they can't get the money, and doesn't mean they can't spend the money. But if Powell doesn't make it accommodative for them to get it, their spending is going to be wasted.
Right, and Congress has the ability... Right, they have the ability to amend the Federal Reserve Act, but you know they're hesitant to do that. The Federal Reserve's mandate, employment and inflation, low inflation, full employment, balance the two. Now they're trying to pick up these other things that he says he's attentive to. But as far as what the act calls for, it's those two big things. And right, they've got the punch for the punch bowl.
Anyway, we're here on an open show. We'd like to answer your calls. That's what we enjoy the most. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask a question. You know, Chris, one of the things I wanted to address is, you know, you hear a lot of commercials for annuities and how they're, you know, stop you from going down when the market's going down, and they go up as much as the markets are going up. You know, I mean, nothing is more of a fairy tale than those types of concepts, you know, that you can actually get your cake and have icing on it and have vanilla ice cream on the side and get a cocktail to go with it, and never have to worry about any of the consequences of it, you know?
Because those people who facilitate those and who sell those things, the companies who offer those products, they're the house. Insurance companies are always going to win, right? They've got it. Well, any business has to make a profit, so it's got to be better for them than it is for you.
And, you know, it's like I always say, you know, those products tend to come when they're sold, okay? They tend to come with commission as much as high as 10%. Now, if this was this great, wouldn't you just put it on the internet and all of a sudden people come flocking to it, right? I mean, that's only logical. Why would you pay people 10% to sell something if it really was this good? If it's really that good, you just put it on the internet and people come flocking to it. But the problem is it needs to be sold because it isn't that great a product. There are times when it's, but in our last 10 years, I think we've used an annuity, a commission-free annuity, that is, of course, three times, I think four times maybe. So we're always looking at them. We're always available to use them, but we've only used them about three or four times. So that's a fascinating fact right there, you know?
Sure. Well, again, there's for the right people. It's we haven't done a ton of reverse mortgages, right? But the first one we did several years ago, it was the perfect situation for it. It called for it, especially the cost of it was low, and that's what you got to be very concerned about, cost for that particular type of solution, and for all things. So right, we are not, you know, we buy, you know, sometimes we have funds that are from groups that at first, you know, we're like, oh wait a minute, you know, we've seen some things that they've had in the past that haven't been that great. Well, but this fund is really good though, right?
Yeah.
So we'll use the fund. If it's a good fund, we'll use the fund, right? So we're not biased in that way, you know, against things that make financial sense here. So
we're on an open show, Chris. We're going to be going to another pause in a little bit of time.
Yep.
But hopefully we'll get some people to call in and ask their questions because we're going to have the whole second half of the show here. And we're looking to answer your questions. Anything dealing with personal finance, be it investments, taxes, insurance, estate planning, elder care, you name it. If it's dealing with your personal finances, then we're here to answer that for you. That's what we do the show for, is to demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor should do. And hopefully you will give us that opportunity. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. We're going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show, and we've got callers on the line, I believe.
Yeah, we have Molly in Falston. We do have several open phone lines, though. So one caller. We're going to go to Molly, who says she wants to talk about...
Well, let's give our phone number out real quick, okay?
Yeah, do that.
410-922-6680, so you can get on the line also. Their line's open. 410-922-6680. All right, Chris, go ahead.
Molly, a question about a Roth. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Hi, I'm 75, almost 76.
Okay.
I have money in a Roth IRA. Should I be getting it out if the taxes are going to be going up? Do you advise moving it out of a Roth IRA and putting it in a regular?
No, it's the other way around. If you're worried about taxes, you always want to get out of traditional IRAs and go to Roth IRAs. So you're in the good place there, Molly. You're in the Roth IRA. So if you're in a Roth IRA, it is 100% tax-free, assuming that you've owned a Roth at least for the last 5 years. Have you had a Roth for at least 5 years?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then your Roth IRA is 100% tax-free. That you're in the right place if it's a Roth IRA. If you have traditional IRAs, now you have to be concerned, should I be converting to Roth IRAs? And that's not that easy a decision. It takes really good tax analysis to make those decisions when to convert traditional IRAs to Roth IRAs. But if you're already in Roth, then you're in like Flynn. Your last name isn't even Flynn, is it?
No.
But you're in like Flynn because you have the Roth IRA. Right?
Okay, well, I have a lot more in regular IRAs than in the Roth.
Well, are you charitably minded? Do you tend to give money to charity? Do you tend to give money to church or to universities or medical facilities or anything like that?
Yes.
Okay, do you give $1,000 a year, $2,000 a year, $5,000 a year?
Maybe $1,000.
Okay. Well, every year when you give your money away to whoever you give it to, whatever charity you give it to, I want you to do it out of your IRA. So let's say you have a church. Let's say you go to the Catholic church down the street or whatever, and you give them $1,000 a year. So I want you to go to your IRA, whoever runs your IRA, and say to them, hey, I heard that I can take $1,000 out of my IRA and give it to my church, and it'll be tax-free. I want you to do that every year with your traditional IRA, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And then I want you to do an analysis every year to see if I, if I converted $5,000, how much tax would I have to pay? If I did $10,000, how much tax would I have to pay? And is it worthwhile for me to do that? Now, you need somebody
convert
who can do that.
Convert to the Roth, you mean?
Yeah, to convert to the Roth and pay the taxes. I do that for my mother every year. I do it for almost all of our clients. But every year with my mother, she's 92 years of age now, and she'll be 93 in about 2 weeks. And every year I sit back and I say, how much is she going to make? Would it be worthwhile to convert some money to Roth and keep it low taxation on it? So that's something you have to think about, my friend.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Great. All right.
Thanks
great
for calling,
question, Molly.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. We have several open phone lines still. We have Pete in Centerville, though. Pete, hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You talked a little bit earlier on the show about electricity and solar panels and all that kind of business and electric cars.
Yeah.
And I just went through an exercise with a solar panel company, and they agreed to lease 150 acres for me, and
I think you told us about this once.
Huh?
I think you told us about this once.
Well,
where they're going to put up a bunch of solar panels on your property, right?
That's right.
And you're going to make a good bit of money from it too.
Well, I was if they continued on, but all of a sudden, 7 months after they signed the lease, they said to me, "Foul ball! You didn't do something right, or you didn't tell us what it was all about, or something." I mean, they're in the business. I'm an 88-year-old farmer. And I don't know anything about solar panels, but anyway, so they said, okay, we want our $50,000, which you gave you back, plus a $25,000 security deposit. We want that back, and we want out of this deal because, well, of course, I think that here's the whole thing is this: you have to with these solar panel things is this. The only way you've got to sell your electricity to somebody, right?
Right.
And how do you get it there? You get it there over the power company's electric lines, and you hook into the power company's substation, which is right across the street from me.
Right.
Okay. Now, the power company, you're going to steal the power company's customer, and you're going to use his facility to get your electricity there, from point A to point B.
Right.
And so they're going to say to you, we want X number of dollars to hook you up.
Right.
And this gets into, with 150 acres, this gets into several million dollars.
Right.
And maybe these investors say, well, now we decided we don't, this is too much risk, this is that, and we want out of this deal.
So did you bring your contract, your lease, to another attorney, and they said, yeah, you're stuck?
Well, what I did with this is I just gave them back their money. I chose not to get involved in a lawsuit with them because I just didn't need to be bothered in that.
I would have at least taken it to another attorney and said, you know, do they have the grounds to stand on, or can I keep their $75,000?
Well, and the whole thing is this. Then you get more attorney's fees and everything else. I just gave them back. But getting to this point with this one company, I went through about 25 different people who wanted to lease that land, and then I said to them, I want $50,000 in advance, and they couldn't come up with it. The point being is this. The electricity that you use in your house and that I use in my house and I use on my business and so forth is comes from the power company, and that electricity is made from coal.
Right.
I talked to Delmarva Power, which is my supplier, and they don't want to have anything to do with solar panels. And
right.
None of these electric suppliers want to have anything to do with solar panels. And and another thing is this too, that what's remembered in this whole thing is this. With solar panels and electric vehicles, you have to have storage batteries.
That is true. That's the next frontier, actually.
And the materials that you are required to make a storage battery are pretty much tied up by the Chinese and the Russians.
Actually, that's going to change over the next few years. You're
going to
see a major shift in the next few years because
I don't think you will.
I'm just telling you, my investigations tell me that there's new technology coming that in the next few years, whether it's 2 years or 10 years, I'm not sure, but not too far into the future, you're going to see whole new battery technology that's not going to require all the same rare earth and so forth. So
that may well be.
But let me tell you something, you know, it's inevitable, it's going to happen. The utility lines are controlled by the utility commission more than they are by the utility company, and they have to allow people to connect to it, and they can't use any, you know, large connection fees and so forth. I appreciate your call, Pete. It's a great, interesting point. But, Chris, do we have anybody else out there, or should I just ramble again?
We don't have anybody right now, and we've got another break coming here in a couple minutes, 410-922-6680. And Pete knows a lot more than he lets on, right?
Sure. Pete's got a, you know, I mean, he's been studying this because, I mean, obviously,
yep.
He was trying to lease out that land, and he knew that to lease it to a solar farm would be far more valuable than to just let somebody grow corn or something on it. He was absolutely spot on. I was disappointed that he abandoned the lease that easily. You know, I would have probably fought with them.
No,
he probably didn't even have a lawyer to look at the lease to begin with. So that was probably the problem that he had there and so forth. But I admire the guy and I admire what he's done. So anyway, Chris, we're on an open show tonight. Any topic, as Pete just brought up one topic, Molly was on a totally different topic. I mean, that's what's cool about what we do is we're here to answer any question, be it estate planning, income taxes. And income tax time is starting, Chris. We've already got our first few tax returns to start looking at.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we can help you answer your questions. The only thing we can't answer is how you're going to get good, you know, better service from the IRS and the state of Maryland tax folks because they've been so inundated and, you know, they're hurting from the backlog, right? And so when I hear the IRS has 6 million returns unprocessed from last year, normally they have about a million.
Oh, it's worse than that, Chris. They have about 30-some million different things they have to address, and normally they only have about 4 or 5 million. So, you know, it's a mess, and, you know, but you know, you make these decisions that we've got to protect everyone from everything, and no one can come in, and nobody can be together, and so forth and so forth. And, you know, you're just asking for that kind of a problem.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm sure that they had their good reasons. But anyway, we could talk about that. We're on an open show. Hopefully you'll get online with us for the last quarter hour of the show. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. But right now we've got to go to traffic and we'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show.
Yeah, you listen.
We've had a few callers, we haven't had a lot of callers. But,
no, we have two now, Drew.
All right, let's go right to them.
Sure, we've got Lee and then Whitey. And Lee wants to talk about Florida taxes. Lee, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I have two questions. The first is, have they changed the law where you only can have $10,000 limit on
state and local income taxes, right?
Yeah, has that been changed yet?
No, it's still the same. 10,000 is the max.
Yeah. The other thing is, if you're in Florida for 6 months, how does that affect Maryland income taxes?
Well, it's not just being in Florida for 6 months and how does it affect Maryland income taxes. So you have to become a resident of Florida. So you could be in Florida for 9 months and still be a resident of Maryland. You just have to learn the rules. And the rules are, you know, where are you really considering your home? Is it Florida or is it Maryland? And there's numerous checklists of what Maryland would go through, and the time you're in Florida versus Maryland is one of those, but it's only one of many things they would use to determine, is Maryland your resident or is Florida your resident? I mean, I could go through them all, but I don't think we have time tonight. We ought to do that another time earlier in the show if you want to go through all of them. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank
you. All right, buddy. Good question. Very good question.
Thanks for calling, Lee. Right. Yeah, it's a detailed answer for that. We've got Whitey in Elkridge. Whitey, welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you all for taking my call.
Sure.
So a lady was calling a little bit ago and asking about the converting from the traditional to the Roth IRA. And the question that you asked here was if you've had the Roth for more than 5 years. Is there a difference between having it more or less than 5 years?
So it's when you opened up your first Roth IRA. So Roth IRAs, to be totally tax-free, you have to be over 59 and a half, and you had to have at least a Roth in existence for 5 years in order for all of your Roth money to be tax-free. So let me give you an example. Let me say that in 1998, when they first passed the rule, I put $100 into a Roth IRA. But I never put another nickel into the Roth IRA. And then I'm 65 years old, 20-some years later, I'm 65 years of age, and I convert a whole bunch of IRA money over to Roth money. My entire conversion of that IRA from that day forward, earning money, is 100% tax-free because I set up at least a Roth over 20 years ago, more than 5 years, and I'm over 59 and a half. Now, let's say, on the other hand, I'm 65, and for the very first time, I convert money from a IRA to a Roth, and it's the first time I've ever set a Roth up ever at 65 years of age. I'm over 59 and a half, but now my first Roth IRA that I've ever set up is only been set up today. I now have to wait 5 years in order for any earnings on that money to be 100% tax-free, because it's the first time I've established a Roth ever. So it's so, 5 and 59 and a half. Go ahead.
Okay, so I meet the 59 and a half criteria, but what is it like a table, the amount of the earnings on the IRA is tax free, but is the I guess the question that I have is that.
You can always, if I can interject something, Whitey, you can always, if you're reaching for that, you can always take out your contributions.
Right. You can always take your contributions back. So you've never had a Roth IRA ever? This is the first Correct. Time you would do one?
Correct.
Okay. So you're over 59 and a half, but you haven't had the 5 years. So if you did a Roth conversion from a traditional IRA to a Roth, and let's say you did it with $50,000 and you paid the taxes on that $50,000, okay? Now that would be considered your contribution, okay? So if you withdrew just the $50,000, that would be tax-free. But if on the other hand, it grew by $2,000 and you tried to touch that last two before 5 years of that Roth being in existence, that would be a disqualified distribution from the Roth IRA.
Okay, and when you make a conversion from a traditional to a Roth, is that considered income for your W-2 purposes?
Oh, well, not W-2, but it is income on your income tax return under... You know, line four basically is where it normally is under IRA distributions. That's where it would be taxable.
And that would possibly, if you're not of a higher income, that would probably considerably raise your tax bracket if I took that $50,000, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's
going to be taxable. All of it will be taxable. And it's going to raise... it's going to raise you in, even if you're in a tax bracket, it could push you into the next one or may just raise you within that bracket. It really just depends on your other income.
But I want to make a good point for you, Whitey, because there are a lot of people who don't understand what tax brackets are. I always felt that everyone understood this, but I want to give everyone a little lesson about tax brackets. You know, when you go into the when you're in the 12% bracket and you go into the 22% bracket, not all of your money goes into the 22% bracket. It's only the amount of money that you earn over that next level. So let me give you an example. Let's say that I make $85,000, okay? The 10% tax bracket is up to about $10,000. For a married couple, the 12% bracket goes up to about $80,000. The 22 bracket starts at $80,000, but the only thing that's taxed at 22% is the last $5,000 that I earned. So you always get advantage of each level of the tax brackets. It's only the money that goes over into the next bracket that is actually taxed at that next level. It's very important that all listeners understand what I just said, and I hope I made it clear for you, because that's something that not everybody understood. They thought when you go into the 22% bracket, boom, retroactive, everything's 22%. That's not the way it works. All right?
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that information.
Great.
All right,
hey,
buddy.
Thanks
you
for
take
calling,
care.
Buddy.
You know, Chris, I had to learn this in a situation with a client about 10 years ago. I mean, they were petrified. You mean I'm going into the 24% bracket?
Right.
And I go, yeah, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck is that? What, you know, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'll bet you he thinks that everything's going to be taxed at 24% now. And when I explained that to him, he goes, really? That's the way it works? And I was shocked that not everybody understood
right.
that
yeah,
concept.
We're
tax people.
Yeah, we're in it so much, right? And we just, you make assumptions as to, because you can understand that. You can understand that. And so the only thing I have to do is say, for those out there who are, you know, particular about it, so the 12% bracket for a married couple starts at $20,000. Generally.
Is it 20,000 and then it goes up to about 83?
It's a little over $80,000, but it starts at 19.9. It starts at $20,000.
You're just trying to correct me because you thought this would be really cool. Let's correct Drew on the radio and I can be the one that said it, right?
You know, there's something about truth, right? I've got this thing about truth.
I was right for the single bracket, though, right? To 10,000, 9,000.
I should have
said
it that way, Drew. You know, on a single person, and I was going with you there. And so we know that when questions come in, and Drew's taking them first because he's going to answer them first. I'm gonna need to refer to something on about 30% of the questions. So.
We only got a couple minutes left, Chris. I'm assuming we don't have anybody else online right now.
We don't. What do you want to ramble about?
I don't know. What's a good thing to ramble about? Well, tax preparation time. You know, we've got a great video out there, Chris, called Tax Preparation versus Tax Planning.
Right.
And what we do with our clients is we do tax preparation that is also tax planning. Too many people go to tax preparers and they think that the tax preparer is helping them lower their taxes. But, you know, we know a lot of tax preparers, Chris, and they're inundated with tax returns. What they do is you give them the information, they make sure it gets into your tax return and as efficiently as possible, and they make sure that all the laws are applied efficiently as possible, but they're really not looking to figure out how to help you lower your taxes, you know. Our associate, Bob Boner, he'll talk about this freely, that when he used to do tax prep before he became part of the consulate, he thought he was an excellent tax preparer. But when he learned our way, he said, man, I've been missing so much in helping clients with their tax prep.
Well, because a lot of folks, I think, you know, from their perspective, is tax preparers feel they don't really have access to get across some of these other things. And, you know, they're getting paid. It's tough enough to get a tax return finished, right?
Oh.
And so they're not getting compensated for these other things. And then trying to track people down and run them down, you know, to get all these things done. When we're doing comprehensive things for folks, we know that, hey, there's things that you can do before December 31st, and there's things you can do after December 31st that can help you from a tax standpoint. So
also, we want to make sure all our listeners know that we only do tax returns for people who are long-term financial advisory clients of ours. So we don't, if somebody just said, well, I asked them to do my tax return. Well, we don't do that.
No.
You have to become a comprehensive advisory client of ours, and then we'll do your tax return. Anyway, I've rambled enough, don't you think?
We've run out of time.
All right. Well, Chris, always glad to be with you. 51 years together. That's a long time.
Thank you, sir. Been a ride. Been a pleasure.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.